Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Eric Baranchuk of the Green Bay Press-Gazette joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty exciting. But almost exhausted from watching the football this weekend. My goodness, those games were fantastic. Off the hook.
Yeah, a lot of great games this weekend. All of them were really good games this weekend, as a matter of fact. So here's my question coming into this contest. An early gut feeling, Packers or Seahawks?
Packers.
I think most people are leaning in that direction.
Yeah, I think so. I think the lack of run game from the Seahawks, and the fact that they are going to be able, the Packers are going to be able to, at least they have been through 16 games, been able to get home with 3 and 4 guys. That's going to allow them to keep safety or linebacker spying on Russell Wilson. And when they want to dial up something, I think they'll be able to do it. And I think the secondary will be able to handle. They're going to get some passes. They're going to score some touchdowns. Those things are going to happen. They're a good football team. But I don't think, if they can keep them to 17 points, that's awesome. Because I think the Packers are going to score some points.
Well, that's why I was saying, even last week, I said about 24 is the high water mark. If you allow less than that, I believe that the Packers are probably going to be around 24 to 27 points. If you allow more than that, chances are you're going to lose a ballgame, because I think that's about kind of the break-even point for the Green Bay Packers. So looking at the games this weekend, only one team scored more than 24 points, and that was, oddly enough, the Minnesota Vikings. It took them overtime to do it, to put up 26 against the Saints, but everything else was a relatively low-scoring affair. I mean, the Saints were the second-highest-scoring team this weekend, putting up 22 on the Bills.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I thought the defense was included. And the offense, you saw a lot of, other than Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, the guys that were playing were young quarterbacks who haven't had a whole lot of success in the playoffs. And, the defenses were playing. And we should expect this, too. If you're going to be in the playoffs, your defense should be fairly decent.
And for all the teams that won, basically, if you could hold a team to 20 or under, you're going to win a ball game. Albeit the Eagles held the Seahawks to only 17, but the Eagles losing their quarterback Carson Wentz early on in that ball game to what many believe to be a cheap shot by Jadeveon Clowney, that just derailed their offense and they were pretty much done for the day. So it was a tough road to go. So now the Seahawks come in and they've got. They've got a very, I'm going to say, porous offensive line. It's keeping Russell Wilson in the pocket and everything else, letting it fall into place. So, to me, I'm going to talk about Kenny Clark up the gut, and then it's going to be the Smith brothers, Zadarius and Preston, putting pressure and keeping him in the pocket and putting hopefully sandwich him a couple of times and putting him down to the ground and changing and kind of flipping the field position, if you will.
Well, we can see, at least I would expect to see, how they keep Russell Wilson in the pocket is going to be a little bit different. Basic thought processes are there that you run your outside guys up to quarterback depth or a shade deeper, and then you start working back to the quarterback. What I would expect to see is going to, and where they've had, the Packers have had some good luck, at least as the season has progressed, there's been a lot of tackle end stunts. So the guy who's going to be responsible for primary contain on those situations are going to be the tackle. And they'll do it a couple of different ways, at least that we have seen. We've seen it with a tackle and tight end, basically, and or outside rusher, basically reverse responsibilities. The tackle works outside, the outside guy works inside. Also, a bigger game where the tackle would work wide outside, and that outside rusher would loop around to the A-gap or to the opposite A-gap. To get some inside pressure coming from someone a little bit faster. So I think those are the ways that they're going to try to do to keep Russell Wilson in the pocket rather than just the old run upfield and hopefully we get there type of thing. and it gets some pressure from the inside to push it out. But the way the Packers have been able to do some stuff on defense with the athleticism that they have there, of being able to use some of those TD stunts and games where they're looping around even deeper beyond the B gap, so they're going into A gap or even the offside A gap. So there's a lot of things that they can do to confuse that offensive line and the running backs that are going to be in to protect. So containing Russell Wilson isn't going to be just a one-trick pony. They're going to do it in a couple of different fashions and probably dropping an end for, I say end because it's end man on the line of scrimmage, dropping that individual to be the spy or bringing a safety down to be a spy. I don't think they want to have their linebackers to be a spy because they're going to want to have to get to the flat to cover the running backs.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to do a couple of different things that we've seen the Packers do already this year, that they're just going to try to gain some opportunity to keep Russell Wilson in the pocket, because obviously that's where you're going to have the most success against them, is by keeping him in the pocket. When he runs around, lights his hair on fire and runs around like crazy, that's tough.
When you look at DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, I would assume Jair Alexander is going to get Tyler Lockett. DK Metcalf is going to be Kevin King's guy, correct?
Depends on how they line up. I think, if they are able to shut those guys down early on, then I think they'll move them along. I think you could see if they were going to man up and just have one guy, like Jair Alexander automatically has DK Metcalf, I would be of the sort that I would rather have Kevin King. I think that's a better matchup for the Packers on DK Metcalf just because of the guy's size, and Lockett being a Jair Alexander or Williams, depending on where they line him up. If in a twin look, two-receiver side, Lockett could be that slot receiver. So then he's going to match up with Tamon Williams. They're going to split them both. I think the other thing that they're going to probably try and do is get Lockett in motion. So that's going to change things a little bit there. They're going to be looking for a matchup with a safety. But Lockett's more of the middle-of-the-field guy, and I think that's the guy that they have to really be concerned about. Because the tight ends are a little banged up and coming off an injury. So I think that's the guy that they're really going to have to pay attention to, because they like to catch in between the numbers and in the middle part of the field. And I think that's going to be a spot where it's going to be interesting to watch and see how they handle that.
Talking with Eric Brancheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette, does Travis Homer or Marshawn Lynch give you any fear at all when it comes to stopping the run?
Yeah, third and one, fourth and one, near the goal line. I think, Marshawn Lynch is... He hasn't missed any meals, and certainly he's a powerful human being. So I think in the short yardage stuff on the goal line, I think you got to kind of raise your flags for that gentleman. I use that term loosely, the gentleman. But I think it's far and wide. I don't think it's something that certainly they could be facing much worse, much more more difficult guys to bring to the ground than those guys.
Got to ask you now, offensively for the Packers, with this team. Look, it's not the Legion of Boom anymore. So, what do you expect out of the Packers offensively? Because you got to get other guys.
The last two games of the season against the Vikings, they kind of short yardage to chunk it down the field, like I always say. Played really within their offense, got the ball out quick. I think they're going to have to do a little bit of that and a little bit of what they did against Detroit, because they showed. I thought it was kind of genius against Detroit that they were whipping the ball downfield like crazy. So their next opponent has to be aware of that, and they have to deal with their coverage and how they want to do it. And they're going to take their, they're going to have to take their chances. If they're going to sit with two deep, all right, now you got to worry about Aaron Jones. Or if they're going to come bring the guy up, now you know that they're not afraid to throw it deep. Their timing was off a little bit, but they certainly aren't afraid to do it. So, it's going to be a chess match between the defense and the offense there, and watching how they're going to do it, and about how Rodgers is going to go about changing plays at the line of scrimmage based on the coverage. So I would expect to see a lot of cover four, probably a lot of disguising of stuff from the Packers, from the Seahawks. And I don't know if they're going to be a blitzing defense against Aaron Rodgers. I think if he gets hot and he gets a little bee under his bonnet, he could be deadly. And, he might be at that point right now where he's really deadly. And,
You know, I think looking at the playoffs, he might be, him and Russell Wilson are the two best quarterbacks, I think, on both sides, AFC and NFC in the playoffs, and I think this could really be a really whale of a football game.
Real quick, before I let you go, so between these two teams, they've obviously had a lot of history. If the Packers get a win, does this exercise any of the 2014 season?
You know, different teams, different coach, a lot of different stuff. I don't think so. I think maybe for the fans, but I think for the football teams, I don't think it does. I think, you know, if the Packers are able to get a win, it's just, you know, number 14. Let's move on. Let's go get number 15.
Good stuff, buddy. We will talk to you soon, later in the week, okay?
All right. Hope you enjoy your week. Have fun.
We certainly will try. There you go. That's Eric Brandcheck of the Green Bay Press-Gazette joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.